Hi, this is Hope Gibbs coming to you from the Conscious Capitalism Conference 2013 in San Francisco, California. We're bringing you this special report about the future of capitalism on the Incandescent Radio Network.
Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Public Relations, publisher of Being Incandescent Business Magazine, and your host for the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs.
Hi, this is Hope Gibbs with the Incandescent Radio Network here at the Conscious Capitalism Conference 213 in San Francisco. I am having the privilege of meeting Shane Hayes, CEO of Learning as Leadership, a unique organization here based in Northern California that works with some of the largest government agencies and corporations in the country. He's going to tell us what Learning as Leadership means, what its impact is, and how it applies to conscious capitalism.
Thank you.
So tell us just basically what Learning as Leadership means.
Learning as Leadership, our focus is on leadership development and culture change, both in the public and private sector, as well as nonprofits. And our basic approach is that is on the ego. And we define the ego as a preoccupation with self-worth. So in any given situation, a board meeting, a performance review, a networking event, I have a certain amount of angst and mind chatter around my value. Am I competent? Am I being judged? Will I succeed or fail? And all of that emotion and mind chatter drives behavior. And unfortunately, drives dysfunctional behavior, self-protective or proving behaviors. And those behaviors tend to trigger similar types of concerns and dysfunctional behavior in other people. So if you bring that to the workplace, it's why we often have workplaces where, despite our best intentions, there can be distrust, lack of collaboration, silos, and people feel like they need to watch their backs. And that really undermines the performance of a company. And I think when we feel our self-worth is at stake, we're in survival. And when we're in survival, we're not connected to our purpose. We're not able to be guided by what really matters to us. And so I think that we end up making decisions as business men and women that are not aligned with what we've been discussing here at Conscious Capitalism.
So tell us how, when you're stuck in that place where you don't feel safe and you don't know if what you're doing is valuable and you're going to be judged, how does that hold you back? And then how does the program that you've put into play, how does that shift?
To give many examples, if I'm working with a boss that I don't have a tremendous amount of trust with, and I am responsible for a project that I feel challenged by, that I'm not sure I can do, that's stretching me, and I'm worried about my confidence, then I could be more committed to looking like I've got it together than actually the project itself. And so that can translate into not asking for help, or trying to spin things in a positive way, or deflecting questions to not show that I don't know. And I end up saving face in the short term, but I end up actually laying the groundwork for much bigger problems afterwards. I'm more liable to have a crisis that I can't get out of. I'm actually less liable to learn and less liable to perform, because what's been driving my behavior is need to protect my competence in my own eyes and in the eyes of others, as opposed to what it is I want. So, and there's many examples like that, but that's one. And what the first thing about this is that it's unconscious. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, "Today I'm going to go out and just try to protect my reputation, look competent, and not be connected to my purpose." Nobody does that. But I think we learned early on that it's dangerous to not perform. It's dangerous to come up short. When other people judge us, it carries the weight of rejection. And so we get hijacked moment by moment, unconsciously, seamlessly, we get hijacked. And if we're not conscious about what these feelings are, what these fears are, they will drive us way off course. And so our work, we do it, we do an in-depth 360 feedback, we do coaching, and our primary vehicle of transformation is through in-depth immersive leadership programs that we either do for individual leaders, and we also do cultural change in organizations, because all of this plays itself out at a cultural level. And really the work is to help people not just, here I've described briefly the concept, I think we all got it, but how is it true for me? How does it get triggered in me in that moment on Wednesday morning when I say something in a meeting and there's a long pause and people move on? I haven't experienced that, and that triggers something. So what do I do with these triggers? How can I become aware of them, and how can I learn to master them as opposed to suppress them?
And who are some of your clients?
We have done a lot of work with over the years. Shell Oil, so a lot of work in the oil and gas industry, building materials industry. Blue Links, Georgia Pacific was a client for a long time. We're in the financial services industry, large banks, Capital One is a big client. We've also done a lot of work with the U.S. government, so the national labs, so NBA national labs, some of the NASA's different centers. Right now we're doing a lot of work with the Navy. And we've also do a lot of work in the nonprofit. So the Abraham McConnell Foundation is a client. They actually have given us a grant so that we can provide our training for their grantee organizations. And our tools have been taught or are being taught at Harvard Business School. So it's very aligned with what we've been talking about here. How do we raise the consciousness in ourselves and leaders so that we're actually leading our businesses in this very important capitalist system in a way that's conscious.
Now, tell us a little bit about the history of this organization that you work for, where you're the CEO. Where did this idea come from?
So that's very unusual. It wasn't at all an academic starting point. What happened is that there was a couple in France in the 1980s, and the wife developed cancer in her eye, and at the time it was a 12-millimeter melanoma, metastatic melanoma, and because of the technology, there was no radiotherapy or chemotherapy that could be done. And so the doctors said, you have 2 to 3 months to live. Have a good day. Yeah. And then she got a second opinion, and it was the same. And she had young children. It was terrifying for her. And but there was this, and I think that if there had been treatment, they wouldn't have gone looking further, but there wasn't. So they were faced with death, and she paused and she said, no, wait a second. My name is Claire, which means Claire in French. I run an optical store. My husband imports Nikon eye lenses from France. I've got cancer in my eye. Is there something I'm not looking at? What's going on here? And so they began a journey to try to understand, was there a mind-body connection in her illness? And she never made generalizations about it being true for others, but she really felt that it was true for her, that there was, in fact, emotional and mental issues that were impacting her illness, that there was a whole slew of things in her relationships that she and her husband hadn't been looking at. They were on the edge of divorce, and there were other problems that she'd been sort of pushing away. And so they began to unpack this. And as they unpacked it, it created a huge lightness and really allowed her to show up in life in a different way. Now the husband, he was an engineer, and so he began to map out the things that they were discovering using the flow charts, and they ended up creating seminars. Initially it was 3 hours, today we teach a 1-year program. I've really developed a lot over the years, and it's really understanding how these hidden thought patterns within us really have a lot more influence over how we behave and how we see the world than we realize. And we ignore that to our detriment. So initially they were in the health sector, but they were both business people.
So wait, tell us, did she survive? Did she live longer than 3 months? Tell us the love story.
So they were both business people, and they began to they turned around and saw that, oh, there's these same issues in our businesses. And so they began to adapt and evolve their programs for businesses. And she continued to really explore and work on it. And I think the thing for her is that if something is pretty idea, but it didn't help her, it wasn't helpful. Because she was at that store. She could only, her criteria was, does this help me show up in my life in this way? Does this help me have a different state of being, a different level of consciousness around my health and around my relationships and around things at work? And ultimately, she lived for 17 more years.
Wow.
And in fact, she died much later of a different cause than her original cancer.
Okay. Wow, that's fascinating. So now, what are your goals for the future? What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, I got into this work myself in 1989 when I was an undergraduate at UC Berkeley, and at that time was very lost. Had a lot of drug and alcohol issues and issues with school and relationships and a lot of anger. This can happen with young men, and a lot of despair. And this process helped me unpack and understand what was going on. And it wasn't an overnight silver bullet. I think it takes time to change really deeply ingrained patterns. But the transformation that I went through was really profound, and I can say with no exaggeration, that's what I would have said. I don't think I'd still be here if I hadn't discovered this way. Maybe I would have discovered something else. It's not the only way. But this transformed something within me that felt immutable. And today we do this work for large organizations. We do this work with couples, with families. I'm currently finishing a memoir on my journey with this work and how I was able to discover that behind all of my rage and substance abuse, there were ways in which my ego was recreating old pains and causing me to a profound dissatisfaction that I felt a victim of, but in fact came from within. And I was able to move beyond that. And I'm also working with one of our large clients in the financial services industry to write a book about the culture change that went on at their organization. It's a very interesting story. They're in the debt collection industry, which does not have a good reputation. Nobody likes debt collectors. And to be honest, I don't know that anyone likes to work for a debt collector. Who wants to go to do that for a living? And we've been working with them since 2005, and there's been both a profound transformation of how they interact with each other, but there's also been a profound change in terms of how they interact with the people around them, how they see the people they're collecting from, and how they interact with the folks at the Consumer Rights Protection Bureau, and how they're really committed to doing their business in a way that's good for all the stakeholders. Because the fact is, we can't not have debt collectors. Otherwise, there's no credit.
Right?
Or it's so expensive, only if you have it. So we need them. We need to have trash collectors. But how they do it makes a difference. And it makes a difference for us. It makes a difference for them. Because if they can show up at work and feel inspired about doing the dirty part of the economy, that's a more inspiring life goal.
That is so interesting. I hope to keep talking to you more about all this work that you're doing. But we're here at the Conscious Capitalism Conference with Shane Hughes, CEO of Learning as Leadership. And if people want to learn more about your organization, what's the URL?
It is www.learnaslead.com.
www.learnasleave.com.
So that's it for today's Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, where we always ask, what's your story? If you have a good one and would like to be interviewed on the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, send me an email to hope@hopegibbs.com. Check back every Monday at noon for a new episode of the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network. www.incandescentradio.com. We look forward to talking to you next week. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.